We ask you to be with us on this special Sabbath day. We ask that your Spirit would permeate this church and our hearts. We thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift.
Wow. I'll just sit down. Is that okay with everyone? You guys can come back up. And are you ready for a concert? That would work very well for me. Today could be considered a high Sabbath. It's a Sabbath where we have the opportunity to symbolically partake in the suffering and sacrifice of Christ. The Sabbath is always a day set apart as holy, a day blessed by God. But there's some Sabbaths that just seem to be extra special. There were those Sabbaths back in the Old Testament times where the Israelites would take special preparations for, because they were high Sabbaths. It should be done every week, and certainly we should consider every Sabbath an enjoyable and a special day. The ordinance of communion is not a man-made thing. A lot of things that we do are man-made. We come up with a way to celebrate the birth of Christ. We come up with a way to celebrate all sorts of things. Communion is not something that we came up with. Christ, at the Last Supper, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So he is the one who came up with communion. He's the one that told us to do this. He wanted us to have a chance to reflect on his life, especially upon his death and his sacrifice for us. How many of us this week, in preparation for communion, picked up our Bibles and read about the last day of Christ's life on earth as a mortal? How many of us prepared ourselves for this? How many of us studied and meditated on the sacrifice of Christ? How many of us prepared ourselves physically and spiritually, as the Israelites did, for a high Sabbath day? This is a day that God longs to have a special experience with us. He longs to be reconciled to us. What does it mean to be reconciled to God? It's a broad question. We could spend hours and days talking about it, debating it, coming up with our ideas. I'm going to focus on one particular aspect. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 11, 25 and 26. It's Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." This is the same thing that he says in the Lord's Prayer. This is the same thing that he says after the Lord's Prayer. This is the same thing he says throughout the Bible. So if he says it once, we should probably pay attention. If he says it twice, we should definitely take heed. But if he says it again, explains what he said, and then uses it in his model prayer, I think we should stand on our feet and start putting it into action. There's two parts to this sermonette. We're going to tie them together in the end. For now, turn with me again to Matthew 5, 23 through 24. I love the Sermon on the Mount. There is more wisdom in that one sermon than in all of Solomon's life. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Notice what it says. It says to leave your gift at the altar. Didn't say, grab your gift, head home. Leave it at the altar. That means you're coming back. That means that you're going quickly. It's basically saying, take that lamb of yours, hand it to the priest, say, hang on to him for just a minute for me. I got something to do. You run out of the temple, you find your brother, and you're reconciled. It doesn't mean that you go home, you think about how you're going to do it, you plan a way, you try to figure out a time that would work best. You do it. When the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you act right then and there. That's why you leave your gift at the altar, because you'll be right back. If you want to have a clean heart, a joyful spirit, if you want a relationship with God that is filled to overflowing with His love and grace, make things right with Him. And one of the ways to do that, he says, is to make things right with your brother. And by the way, I'm very, very, very grateful that the Bible was translated to English. Very. But we sometimes lose some of the meaning in translating it. Our language is completely different, and I think it doesn't change the fact that this is the Bible and it's the holy word of God. Sometimes we lose a little of the significance. So I'm going to try to make sure that, you know, we understand just what the speaker, and in my Bible it's in red, was saying. When it talks about if your brother has something against you, that can mean two things. One, your brother has a legitimate gripe against you. You did something to offend or harm your brother. Two, it can mean your brother has something against you and you didn't do anything. Like Jim in the story, in the children's story, he didn't do anything. But his brother had something against him. It can mean that as well. It doesn't differentiate, though. Christ does not say, so in this instance, here's what you do. And in this instance, here's what you do. He says, go. Go and reconcile with your brother. We can come up with lots of excuses why we don't want to. You know, they won't forgive me anyway. God has one word. Let's go. To all those excuses. Would you agree that Christ wants his body unified? He talks about it enough in the Bible, certainly. It's very, very important to him that we're a unified body. What's the saying, divided we fall? Divide and conquer? What do you think Satan's strategy is? He's a smart being. He will try to divide us as a church, as a family. And that's why, in so many different ways, Christ continues to say, unify, pull together, forgive each other, reconcile with each other. Don't let anything go on between you that divides you. We really have to come to a point in our relationship with God and our relationship with man that we're willing to set aside our hurt, to set aside our pride, to humble ourselves and come before each other open and willing to maybe feel uncomfortable. Because it's not always comfortable to go to someone you know has something against you, especially if they got a legitimate reason. But if it happens to be that you're the one who has to forgive someone, well, that's easy. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it. If you don't, there's a high, high price to be paid for that. Don't bother praying empty, hollow words asking God to forgive you. He's not going to do it. And you can argue with me on that one if you want, but I've got God's word. And you'll have to argue with God's word. Let's turn to Matthew 6, 19 through 13. Or, whoa, 19 through 13, that would be going backwards. Let's try 9 through 13. Please forgive me. Okay. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Please read along with me out loud. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. I think that the way that's put, if you wanted to, if your desire was to try to make it say something that it doesn't say, you might be able to. And I think Christ knew that. I know he knew that. Because if you go on, the very next two verses after this extremely important prayer are about the forgiveness. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm not seeing any room for interpretation. There's really not a lot of wiggle room on that. And I really am not going to get into how serious that would be if God did not forgive us our trespasses. So let's tie these two together. If the Sabbath is a time to come and worship God, and if communion is a special ordinance that helps us to remember Christ's sacrifice for us, doesn't it seem to reason that this is a really good time to be doing what God wants us to do if we want to have a true communion experience with him? As we reflect on God's salvation, as this brings it to remembrance. Remember that God, though he was blameless, he brought his gift to the altar and he left it there before the altar. Actually, he left it there on the altar. And he went and he sought us out to reconcile with us, even though he was blameless. If you want to see change, if you want to see a reformation, if you want to see the latter rain poured out in floods of power, we need to come together. We need to do what they did before Pentecost happened. They came together. They were in the upper room. They were confessing their sins to one another. They were forgiving each other. They were one. They were in unity. Didn't mean they didn't have any problems. Didn't mean that they all agreed 100% on everything. But when it came to caring about each other, there was nothing between them. Can you imagine? Read that. Read in Acts. Read what happened when the Holy Spirit's power was poured out. Absolutely amazing. And those things not only can, but will happen. That is the latter rain. We know that this is going to happen. And it can happen and will happen here. If you want that experience, if you want to see John leap out of his wheelchair and start running, if you want to see this church packed, overflowing, and everyone who's here on fire for Christ, we need to get ourselves together. We need to come together in unity. We need to come together in love. And you can't do that. You absolutely can't do that until you're willing to reconcile. No idea. You know, I'm not going to say that. Oh, I know there's a lot of people need reconciliation here. All I know is that this is a big enough church with enough members and enough interrelations that there's definitely need for reconciliation. There's no way you can tell me that in this larger congregation that there's nobody who has anything against anybody, because we haven't had the latter rain pour out on us. Not that that's the only prerequisite, but I want you to search your hearts. I want you to really think about not what I had to say, but what God has to say. If there's someone that you have to forgive, do it. Forgive that person. If there's someone who you need to ask forgiveness from, do it. Don't hesitate. Come together and reconcile with each other. I want to go home.
It's time for the foot washing, for our preparation for the Lord's Supper. So we'll go out to the multipurpose room and serve one another. And this is a good time to take care of whatever might need to be taken care of. But we separate at this time.